On behalf of the family and friends of Kathy Sundermeyer, I'd like to welcome all of you to this service today. And I know that Kathy would be proud to see each of you here. With that, I would remind the congregation today that we are on Facebook live stream. If you have someone in your sphere that would like to have been here and cannot, that will also be recorded. You can access that by going to the Mayflower Congregational Church website and clicking on Sermons and Audio, and you will be directed to the Facebook video. Or if you would just simply like to listen to the audio or whatever the situation would be, you're welcome to do that. It is also a deep honor and a great pleasure of mine to welcome two ministers on the platform with me today who have deep ties to the Mayflower Church and also great friends to Kathy Sundermeyer. And that would include Dave Banfield, who just played a lovely prelude for us on the piano with a great sense of talent and warmth. And then Reverend John Metcalf, who was at one time, and by the way, Dave Banfield was a former pastor of this church, and he served with Carl Sundermeyer as co-pastors for a fair amount of time here at Mayflower. And John Metcalf was also an interim pastor here years ago. So we are here today to worship. And as we worship, we honor and remember Kathy Sundermeyer. Let us now worship.
Takes me so long, I'm getting old. Some of you might not know why I'm wearing this headband. I'm not doing this to start a new fashion. I have cochlear implants, and this is the only way that I can get that thing to work. And it takes my hearing up to about 93% from 23, I think it was. So I'm going to wear a headband the rest of my life. I've been thinking about putting feathers in it, but I don't think we'll do that. Let's have an opening prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, we appreciate the loving spirit with which Kathy lived her life. She very seldom met a stranger. She is always a compassionate one, had hands full of kindness, faithfulness, diligence, acceptance, and wonderful sense of humor. Help us to draw from these qualities to make our lives better and more faithful before you. Grant her family and friends wonderful memories, and may they be blessed to carry on in the name of faithfulness as she did. We pray this in your Son's name, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Now at this time, we're going to be singing out of the hymnal. Take your book out, and page number 205, and you will sing verses 1 and 3 in the garden. And I'm sorry, I can't hear music, so you're going to have to start yourself. Okay.
Please stand.
Thank you.
Please be seated.
Hear these words from the third chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes. Thoughtful, wonderful words. For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Hope. Good afternoon. I'm aware of today, thinking ahead to what might I say today. It's like much of what I would say today, many of you heard a couple of weeks ago. Several of us were here. We gathered for Blanche Samohovitz's service. And many of the words that I might share, I already did, and starting with my thanks again, Pastor Mark, Kathy's family, Mayflower Church. It's, again, an honor and a privilege to be here and to be asked to participate in the service. I'm grateful. Thank you to all of you. So we're here today to remember and to celebrate Kathy Sundermeyer. And I have a sense in my own mind that much of that conversation about Kathy cannot be had without Carl. And in thinking through, you know, what I wanted to say, you know, at some point in my notes, I had in mind a few sentences from here. I'd say something about how in life, you know, Carl, for those of you who knew him, wasn't very shy and retiring. That's not quite what Carl was. And to plant Kathy next to Carl, it's like, you know, she had to make an effort to be seen. It was like, criminy, here we are at her memorial, and I've got the same thing. I'm saying that, well, I can't have a conversation about Kathy in death without Carl still. But I said, well, that's how they fit in my mind. Kathy and Carl were so much a couple. And again, granted, that's my experience. That was my time with Kathy, the years that we overlapped here at Mayflower. I had met Kathy, and I can't tell you when or where exactly, but Carl served congregational churches, I served congregational churches, and meetings, conferences, wherever they were. We'd cross paths occasionally, and I met Kathy, and I knew Carl, and that's the way it was. Their life path took them on a detour to Florida, and they came back to Michigan, visited here at Mayflower at the time I was pastor, visited, they joined, and then ultimately Carl and I came together as co-pastors. We had the opportunity of, I don't know, I want to think it was a couple of years, if somebody wants to correct me on that, I'm thinking 2 or 3 years, that we served together. And through that connection, I got to know Kathy much better. Carl and I would meet at least once a week, keeping tabs on how we were doing and what we were doing. Kathy was the minister's wife. She grabbed that role and she loved it. And she was not only very supporting and encouraging to Carl, but that's what I got from Kathy as well during that time that we overlapped. She was nothing but gracious and encouraging in my own ministry. She would talk to me at times, and honestly, no detail. We don't need or want those today anyway, but she made it clear that what I would call the Carl years, and that's how I would label them. You know, the Carl years were kind of Kathy's, kind of her golden era. The years prior to, again, I don't know a lot of details. They were hard years. I'm aware of that. They were hard. They were tough. Kathy struggled and she endured. My sense is that at times that's perhaps all she did, was she simply endured. Carl came along. Whatever that courtship did, they ended up together, and she would say to me with tongue very firmly in cheek, she would refer to Carl as my savior, and you have to put that in quotes, because Kathy's faith was serious enough that you don't take the label savior lightly and casually joke about it. If Carl was Kathy's savior, though, that relationship was not a one-way street by any means. Kathy, whether she was Carl's savior as such, Kathy enabled Carl's ministry to a very large degree. They'd say, we met weekly, we'd talk and chit-chat, and whether it was what's going on here at Mayflower and who's up next week and who's not, we'd chat about just catching up. How's your week been? And we had a lot of conversation. Carl adored Kathy, and Kathy absolutely adored Carl. There was no question of that. And again, my time frame of overlap with Kathy is perhaps a little limited in that regard. I don't know a lot about Kathy growing up as a child. We never really talked about those things as such. But Kathy was a joy to be with. She had a smile. She had a laugh connected to the smile that was wonderful. It led to any number of fun situations over the years. She and Carl would have marvelous get-togethers at their house. I remember one in particular. Carl had recently gotten a new pool table, and we were there some church function or another. And Carl and I got into it at the pool table. And frankly, it was like Carl fancied himself as a pool player, and it was his table, and it was in his house at his party. And frankly, I consistently whooped him. It felt pretty good, There's a point to this story in a minute. We'll get back to that. But again, the parties at their house, Kathy was, again, Carl was, just kind of overwhelming in his persona, but Kathy was always just, a wonderful host and a gracious friend to be with. There were any number of boat rides on the river that we participated in. I'm not going to talk a lot about mooning on the boat rides. You can ask me later, and maybe we can talk about that. Simply to say that Kathy did not do anything other than spectate at that point. But she laughed. The wonderful laugh was there. She had the Carl years. I don't know how many years they were. I'm sorry? 13 years they were together? 13 really, really good years. Those were tempered when Carl relapsed, cancer again. Ultimately, Carl died. We had his service here 18 years ago, I guess it would be now. And that had an impact on Kathy that was devastating. At the same time, the smile, the laugh didn't completely, didn't get wiped out. After Carl's death, Kathy and I were, we were communicating, we're seeing each other, talking. She got to a point where she's dealing with Carl's stuff. She gave me his books to go through, anything I could use there. At one point, we're going along, and she said, you should buy Carl's pool table from me. That's neat. I'd love to buy Carl's pool table. At the time Nancy and I were in a house, I had a spot in the basement waiting for a pool table. So this is great. That'd be great, Kathy. But she said, I'd like you to have it if you want it. I'd like to work that out with you. I don't know what Carl said to her about the day that I whooped him at all, at the party, but it was one more indication of, Kathy's sensitivity to what was going on. She, however brief that one day event was, it apparently registered in her mind, and she wanted to talk about that. Goofy part of that story, she said, I'd love to talk to you about it. What do you want for it? So, I wanted to ask you if you could just figure that out for me. And I remember telling her, I said, I can't imagine it's worth more than $50. She laughed. I did my homework, the rest of that story. I did my homework, I did my research, and we came up with a fair price, by the way. I didn't take it from her for $50. Later on, I don't remember the time frame, but later on during that same year after Carl had died, I have to back up a little bit. Years previously, Carl got it in his head. He needed a car. He wanted a fun car. Three of us, Raj and Carl and I, we went to the Detroit Auto Show to look at the new Ford Thunderbird because Carl wanted the Thunderbird. We drove down to Detroit. Ford had at that time, I believe, three prototypes of this new Thunderbird. It wasn't in production yet. So we went to Detroit to find it, take a look at this because Carl wanted to see it. The three Thunderbirds were scattered around the world at other shows. There was no Thunderbird at the Detroit Auto Show. But Carl, we're roaming around, and he did his measuring. I don't know if he did it at the show or later, but Mazda was there. They had a display. And he determined that you could get golf clubs into the trunk of a Miata. He bought the car. He drove it less than a year before he died. somewhere along the line, you know, I'm in touch with Kathy. We're talking, we're dealing with whatever we're dealing with, and Carl's death. She said, you ought to buy Carl's Miata from me. And we had joked over the years. I mean, I had joked years prior to Carl that I would tell people, I don't know what my midlife crisis is, but I'm sure it's a two-seater and a ragtop. That's included in there. And she was aware of that, and she called. You know, we're talking about it, and she's laughing and goes, well, I know that your midlife crisis needs this car. You told me that. I was like, Kathy, I have no business buying Carl's car from you. I can't justify doing that. Well, she hounded me a little bit and then kind of dropped it. The car sat in her garage through that first winter after Carl's death. Wonderful story prior to that. I think it was that fall. What I'm hearing, Kathy couldn't drive the car easily because of her back. It was not a comfortable car for her to try and fold herself up into. Somewhere along the line, Kathy and her often, partner in crime, Winnie Nicholas. Many of you don't know Winnie, I'm guessing. But anyway, Kathy, whatever the deal was, Kathy got together with Winnie, and the two of them managed to fold themselves up into the Miata, and Kathy took Winnie for a drive. Along the way, they needed to get gas, so they stopped at a gas station. Maybe the first time she's driven the car, I don't know, first time she had to deal with getting gas. They pull into the station, and they were apparently at a station where, you know, they had service. Guy comes trotting out, and he'd fill the car. Well, on the rear left fender, there's a cap, but it's all laid flush into the metalwork. Open the gas cap. They didn't know how to open the gas cap. And what I understand is before they're done, Kathy and Winnie are just out of control, laughing hysterically. The service guy, he's doing his best to try and figure out where do you open the gas cap on this thing. And incidentally, they tuck it inside the center console. And eventually they found it and they got the gas. That following spring, Kathy's after me, and you really ought to buy Carl's Miata. I was like, I still can't do that. She said, well, and she said, I want to make you an offer you can't refuse. I said, well, I appreciate that. And so she's coming up with offers. You can pay me whenever you want to. Just buy the car. I said, well, if I still can't justify doing it. And if I did, I couldn't just pay you whenever I want. The end of that story, by the way, I blame on my wife. She said, well, could we afford it? I said, well, yeah, we probably could. I said, well, buy it then, And in fact, I still have the Miata today. It's a great car, and I don't drive it very much. It's my summer toy, and I don't spend a lot of time at gas stations. But when I do, very often, I have this vision of Kathy and Winnie out of control, stuffed into this little car, trying to figure out how to get gas into the thing. We're here remembering Kathy. And this is harking back a couple of weeks ago as we gathered here for Blanche. You've heard this before from me. I have two favorite verses. Prior to those two verses, though, Kathy, like I say, her faith was solid. Part of what we're doing today is remembering her. Part of what we're doing is exploring that mystery that Christ gave us, that business of, I'm the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me will never die. We have no idea completely what that means. Paul, my two favorite verses come from Paul. He addressed that mystery. That's the word he used, which I love. He said, listen, I will tell you a mystery. We will not all die, but we will all be changed. That's what we're grappling with today. Kathy changed. The change is horrible. It's awful. We hate the change. But if we can get whatever tiny little grasp on that thought, that Kathy did not die. She died. I know. That's our language. That's what our puny understanding leaves us with, is that's all we can call it. Kathy died. But if we can get some little grip on that notion that, no, that's our word, but Kathy changed. We love Kathy. We didn't stop loving Kathy last week when she died. We love Kathy, and I would say we love more than the memory. It's not just, we love her memory. No, We stand here today and we say, we love Kathy. I maintain we cannot love what is not real. Kathy changed, but Kathy remains with us. She is here today. She's here all of our days. We cannot completely fathom that. But Kathy lives. We love her still. And we thank God for Kathy Sundermeyer.
On several visits I had with Kathy, we sometimes talked about passing from earth to eternity. I told her that probably we'll close our eyes in sleep and wake up somewhere else in a much better place. We got to talking about what Bible verses do you think we should say at our funerals? And Kathy and I agreed that the 23rd Third Psalm was the one that everybody used, and it's a very good verse to put in as a funeral. So I'm going to read the 23rd Psalm in the King James Version. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. She always said she loved to hear that those verses because it meant so much to her. So, Kathy, we did it. Now we're going to be singing in the hymnal 478, I'll Fly Away, verses 1 and 2. Please stand. Heard Dave talk about some of the things that Carl did, and unfortunately I was a recipient of some of them, and Kathy was my protector, and I'm not afraid to admit it. I'll tell you a story about the time he sent me around to different places to give sermons. I even came to this place a couple times. Went to Plymouth once, and I went over at Lake Odessa and all over the place. He says, well, I tell you what, there's a place down south of Jackson called Somerset, Michigan. Just go down there and give them a sermon. They need a minister. Okay, so I went down there and gave the same sermon I gave 14 times before. I had it committed to memory. And they loved it. They said, can you come and give us another one, please? I said, sure. I went and gave them another one. And they said, when can you move down? And I said, well, I wasn't planning moving down here. It sounds like you're expecting me to candidate for the pulpit. They said, well, aren't you? I said, no, not really. But I said, let me go talk to my wife and we'll see what happens. Well, I went and talked to Karen. Karen says, no, we're not moving down there. And of course, we didn't. I commuted back and forth, but we didn't move down there. But the day that I knew I was going to accept the position as their pastor, I went into the office at 12:15, and Carl was sitting at his desk. Now, I went in at that time because the secretary's gone at 12 o'clock. And I walked in there, and I said, Carl? He says, what? I said, they acted like I was going to candidate for their ministry. He looks up with that grin. I said, did you tell them that? He said, well, aren't you? I said, wasn't now. I said, I'll take the job. And so that led to a 5-year stay at the Somerset Church. Kathy was an outstanding woman. She said, "Carl, will you quit picking on him?" Over at Plymouth Church, we had a minister conference. And the guy came around and said, "Well, somebody say prayer for supper tonight." He got no volunteers, none whatsoever. So we took and set, Kathy, Carl, and I sat together. And the guy said, "Well, we were asking for people to have prayer before we ate." He said, "So I think I'd do it." And Carl said, "Wait a minute, I'll take care of it." And he said, "Well, okay." He said, "My assistant pastor will say the prayer." And I heard Cassie say, "Carl." And he'd done that on several times. But I think the Lord brought her here on earth to protect me. She always got on Carl for wearing his favorite cap, and that was a homicide cap that read on it, "When your day ends, mine begins." So he liked wearing that hat, but finally Kathy got it away from him. I think she buried it somewhere. But anyway, I believe she is with the Lord today because of her never-ending trust in Christ as her Savior. It didn't take long to recognize that this young lady here was a daughter of Jesus Christ. Kathleen Frances Edgecombe Dundas Sundermeyer, RN, of Eaton Rapids, Michigan, passed away on July 4th, 2019, at the age of 75 at her home. She was surrounded by her dear family and Cat Whiff. Kathy was born on March 12, 1944, in Grosse Pointe Farms, Michigan, the daughter of Charles and Margaret Conn Edgecombe. She was a lifelong nurse and graduated with her RN diploma from the Grace Hospital of Nursing. She devoted her 47 years career to a very important need, and that is mental health nursing. I know some nurses that don't concentrate on one particular illness, but Kathy thought that was where she was needed. Kathy, faith journey started in the Lutheran Church and grew when she married Pastor Carl Sundermeyer and supported him as his first lady in Pittsburgh Congregational Church, First Congregational Church of Eaton Rapids, Mayflower Congregational Church of Lansing. She told me that on many occasions, Carl would pull her into the front room and that he would give her his sermon for the week. And she said, "Don't do that to your wife and expect her to come to church." But Kathy was an unusual and a loving wife to Carl. And I believe that had to be a match in heaven. She loved her cats and dogs and enjoyed singing in the choir, reading, playing the saxophone, camping, and being outdoors. Kathy's faith was of the most important to her, helping to mold her into a strong, caring woman, a nurse, a devoted mother, and a wonderful wife. She is survived by her daughter, Susan Hope Dundas, PAC, of Ann Arbor, Michigan, son James Dundas, PhD, of Austin, Texas. Brother-in-law Jay Gill of New Baltimore, Michigan, and niece. Now this is Reen Gill of Ann Arbor, Michigan. Kathy was preceded in death by her beloved husband, Reverend Carl Sundermeyer, in 2002. Her brother, Charles Ingham, in 1990. I'll get it right sometime. This old southern voice sometimes don't work. And her sister, Carol Gill, in March 2019. Memories of Kathy will never fade. She was the kind of woman that you just loved to have around. Her faith was always strong. Every time I visit her, sometimes it was, maybe a month or two later, I didn't go on a regular basis. But when I walked through the door, it was like I just left yesterday. She enjoyed the company and she enjoyed the people. She had a tough battle and she was fighting it with all of her might. But you know how it is, sometimes the body gives out because the Lord wants you to come and be with Him. I can think of just the last time I saw her before this episode of her passing. We were talking, and she said, "John, what good are we?" I said, "Well, what do you mean, what good are we? How good are we?" She says, "Why is God keeping us here on earth?" And I said, "Kathy, I have no idea, but I do have one idea, that as long as we take a breath on this earth, He's got something for us to do." I said, "When we stop breathing, then we'll go to eternity with our Father." She says, "Yes, I suppose you're right." And today, I am positive that Kathy is in the sweet arms of our Lord and Savior, and that she's got the biggest smile on her face. And I bet you 10-1, Carl would say, "Wipe that smile off your face." But he's probably up there too. I hope that they recognize each other and realize just what a wonderful partner they were in life. So that's what we have to do today, is to carry the memory of Kathy and Carl in our minds and celebrate how close and how important they were. Because, you know, it was Carl that got me started into the ministry. Pastor Paul did the first part, Carl did the second. And he's the one that pulled me through. And I'll tell you, it was quite a trip. I wouldn't go any other way. Well, I guess at this time, we're going to have another special music, Just a Closer Walk with Thee. Is that right? Susan Maud and Barb Fuller, Bob Mock, and Kim Finneson.
In just a moment, I'm going to pronounce a benediction on this lovely service of remembrance and worship. But I want to give an invitation to all of you that there is some delicious food in our social hall, and we've prepared it for all of you. So at the completion of a very special number that is designed to be a special tribute to Kathy Sundemeyer, to A Wild Rose is the name of this piece, and a lot of you would have known Kathy as a wild rose. Hear now these words as we close this service. And now abideth these three: faith, Lord, give us more faith to believe, help our unbelief. Hope, Lord, give us more hope in the resurrection when we shall all, like Kathy, be changed. And love, which is the greatest, Lord, help us to know that nothing, not even death, will separate us from the love of Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you.
Also like to thank the folks at the funeral home that did a wonderful job in honoring and remembering Kathy Sundermeyer with dignity, and they will be your ushers as we're ushered into the social hall. Thank you.